Let's turn in our Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Stand when you find that. Deuteronomy chapter 4. So, a couple of weeks ago, I suppose that we took about a three-week break from Deuteronomy for various reasons, and sometimes we do that to give me time to work on it, because sometimes Deuteronomy is one sermon but two chapters, so it just takes a lot of work to make sure we don't leave anything out, but get the point that God's wanting us to get there. However, working on this one, I started to divide it and saw that this was basically God saying to Israel, I want to give you the tools that you need to preserve you as a nation. And it's found in the law of God and in the principles that are in summarized in chapter 4. And I thought, wow, what an amazing truth, how to preserve a nation. Wouldn't it be nice if we could maybe do a layout of these four or five principles and mail it to our government leaders and say, hey, this is what God says will work in the preservation of a nation. And it's true. It's true for a nation. But it applies to families superbly. And that God desires to preserve, like a nation, He desires to preserve our families. And so keep that in mind as we read it. And we'll begin our reading in verse number 9, and we'll read to verse 14. Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them to thy sons and to thy sons' sons. Especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may hear, or rather, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach them their children. That they may teach their children. And they came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire unto the midst of heaven, with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire, and ye heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude, only ye heard a voice. And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments, and he wrote them upon 2 tables of stone. And the Lord commanded me that at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go over to possess it. Let's have prayer, and we'll get into this, our second part of how to preserve a family. Father, we pray your blessings on the message. I pray that it would be an encouragement. It would, Lord, be clear, and that you would do a work in the hearts of your people. Strengthen our families tonight, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. As I was mentioning to open up things, God isn't just interested in Israel getting to the promised land. What he wants is for them to get there, and he wants them to remain there. And if you think about it, really, it's the same concept that God wants for you and me. He doesn't want us to be the roller coaster in life. He wants us to be like the train, that he would bring us to the promised land of victory, and then he would give us the tools that we needed to remain faithful, to remain in a state of fellowship and blessing and victory in our life. God desires that, not only for the nation of Israel, but he desires it for us, for you and for me. He also desires it for our families. He wants us, as in our homes, to be preserved. He wants us in our homes to have a family that is a godly family, a godly heritage, that we as moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas, which, by the way, God doesn't abdicate the responsibilities of grandmas and grandpas, does he? Even in this passage, he says, to thy sons' sons, implication, to your grandchildren. And so God has given us a responsibility, and He also desires that there would be a kind of maintaining and a strength in our homes. By the way, if we're going to have a church that's strong, what makes a church strong? It's strong families. And so we need strong families. God gave the first preservative or the first principle that would preserve the family. And He said, be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. That was in verse 1 through 8. We talked about it last time. And we saw that being a doer of the word is a lot different than just being a hearer. You'll find that when you serve God, when you desire to learn the principles of God, and you become a doer of the word, then this will be one thing that in your family will give you a longevity. It will cause you to have a strength that won't fizzle out. You'll serve God. Your children will, by God's grace, learn to serve God and decide to serve God, and your grandchildren will be touched. We need to remember how that when God's word is declared, that it's our responsibility to respond. And if we don't respond to God's word and we have a hardness in our heart, then it hinders that preserving effect in our homes. So we're responsible to humble ourselves. We're responsible to be absent of pride, to get that pride out, to say, I needed this, I needed to hear from God, and I need to respond. So part one was be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Today, part two, verse 9 through 14, is be the discipler of your home. Be the discipler of your home. That's the title of the message today. According to God, the parents would be the ones who were responsible for their children's spiritual education. Verse 9 says it plainly. Look what he said in verse 9. The last part, he says, teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. This was not only something that was developed in this passage early on in the book of Deuteronomy, but it's something that's throughout the book of Deuteronomy, because this was a responsibility that needed to be rehearsed and reminded as a parent. It would be the duty of the parents to instruct their children, to educate their children in spiritual matters. Look at chapter 6, keep your finger here. Look at chapter 6, verse 7 with me. Chapter 6, verse 7. I'm just going to show you a few, so follow as I go to these, okay? And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Go to chapter 11, verse 19. Verse 19 says this, and ye shall teach them your children, and speak of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Go to chapter 32, verse number 46. Verse 46 of chapter 32. And he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do all the words of this law. So you can go back to chapter 4 where you kept your place marker. Listen to what one writer said. He said, Deuteronomy lays great stress not on the priests or other religious leaders, but on parents as the ones responsible for their children's spiritual education. The same is true for you and me today. We might say, well, this is for Israel and the nation. No, it's for us too. In Ephesians 6:4, it says, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. I didn't understand that before I had kids. You know, I thought, why would a dad ever do that? And then I became a dad. And it's WrestleMania. And I just have to blindside them, which, by the way, I'm paying for tenfold now. We have pillow fights, and I'm just asking God that I don't get a concussion. or lose any teeth. Mercy. Provoke not your children to wrath, but listen to what he said. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Nurture. Those words we understand. Nurture. Admonition. The encouragement in the things of God. And that is our responsibility, moms and dads, to bring up our children. A great Old Testament principle that rings true today. It's timeless. It's in Proverbs 22:6. It says this. Moms and dads, you should memorize this verse, or at least write it on the table of your heart. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Let me read it to you. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know what that word train means? It comes from the imagery of aiming a bow with an arrow placed in there. You train your arrow, which means you aim it. You train it to where you want it to go. And then whenever you release it, wherever you've trained it to go, guess what? That's where it's going to go. And moms and dads, where you're pointing your children, when you release them from the bow of your home, they're going to go where you trained them to go. You see? God says, training them up in the way that they should go. So we have great responsibility. It's our responsibility that is not to be abdicated, to be pushed off on somebody else, to be blamed. If our children go down a wrong path, that we would blame somebody else for the choices that they have made, when it's our responsibility to train them. You see. Parents are responsible today to be the disciplers of their home. But the question that we have, it must be answered tonight. It would be, listen, this message would be a failure if in the end we haven't given you the practical tools that you need, moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, to be the discipler of your home. And they are right here. And I'm going to give them to you in a format that you can write. It might help. Number one, learn to be the discipler of your home by first learning yourself. First, learning yourself. Before you can teach your children, you need to learn. Look at verse 10. Especially the day that thou shouldest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, that they may teach their children. Before they could teach their children, they had to learn themselves, you see. The Bible says here, God said, learn to fear me. Now, the word learn meant to exercise or to be trained in. You can look it up. It means that. My boys and I have been doing push-ups and set-ups every night, except for Sunday. We take Sundays off. But it's just something I feel like, you know what, guys, we need to pump some iron or some heavy things. Hey, let's just push ourselves up. That's pretty heavy, if you're me. So we get on the ground. Here we go. You ready for this? I've been doing lots of push-ups. So I wish you could have been there for the first day. So I said, we're going to do some push-ups, guys. And they're like, first day, they're like, Dad, what? Like, how do you do push-ups? So one of them gets on the ground, and he starts the process. And he's like, okay, Dad, here we go. I'm right. That's it. You couldn't even do one. And then I got another one who's over there. He's going like this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Look, Dad, I did 100. Right. Okay. So we had some work to do. And I'm here to tell you, and I won't have him get up here, but the one who just went down, he didn't go back up, he can do them now. And so he's building it up. Everybody's pointing over here at a Caleb. It wasn't him, but anyway. So it's exercise. Exercise makes you stronger, doesn't it? Well, the Bible says here, the implication here is that you need to learn. You need to be trained. You need to be disciplined. And if you're going to learn, then it's going to require work. And you're going to have to stick to it. It's not always going to be easy. And when you start, you're just going to hit the ground. And you're not going to be able to push yourself up because you just don't, you're just not strong. But that's okay. Just stick to it. And through the process, God will help you to learn the things that you need to learn as a mom and as a dad and as a grandma and as a grandpa to train our children in the way they should go. You'll wake up one day and you will have become stronger because you've stuck to it. Now here's what isn't going to happen. You're not going to graduate through discipleship, continue the book that we do, and suddenly know everything. Or you show up to church a couple of times, or you read a few chapters in the Bible, and now we just know everything that we need to know. No, it's a process of growing and learning and becoming strengthened. It's like training and discipline. So you read your Bible every day. You read it every day. So it's hard for me to read the Bible. That's okay. You're down there and you can't do it yet, but just stick to it. It'll get better. It'll get easier. You'll get stronger. You'll learn more. Read your Bible every day. Be faithful at church. You say, Pastor, it's hard for me to be faithful. Listen, we need to be faithful. And when it's, watch, you know who, listen, this is true. When it's, you know when it becomes, for those that it's not hard to come to church, it's the people who just come to church. When you come and you come and you come and you come and it just becomes a part of your life, then it's not hard anymore. Witness. Amen. And so you become stronger. And we need that. We need to learn to serve in ministry. We need to learn to sacrifice for God. We need to learn to love those around us. And maybe none of those things that I said comes easy for you, but that's okay. Train. Learn. Become stronger. Ask God to help you with the discipline and the work that it takes to become stronger. The problem, I think, sometimes is that in discipline and in training, it's hard, and so we become lazy. We might not want to say witness to that or amen to that, but it is true. What makes people lose the muscle that they trained so hard to get is that they stop the training process and become lazy. And moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas can do the same and lose the power and the ability to teach and to train and to guide our family because we have become lazy. We can't afford to become lazy. One writer said it like this: through laziness and apathy, which, by the way, that's another part of it. It's maybe not so much laziness, but just the lack of understanding of how important it is. And so there's apathy there. But he says, through laziness and apathy, parents might fail to learn God's ways and then fail to teach them to their children. If God's ways were forgotten, note this. Boys, listen, note this. This is good. If God's ways were forgotten in homes, then this would lead to the children becoming idolaters. Now, we're talking about the nation of Israel, how to preserve the nation. And so this is so powerful. Moses says, you want to preserve the nation? Preserve the family. That's where you start. Not the political leaders, but the families. And he says, if God's ways are forgotten in the homes, then the world, or rather, this would lead to children becoming idolaters in the homes. And then this would eventually lead to a corrupt nation. The same is true for us. If we become lazy and apathetic in guiding our children in the ways of God, then our children will become idolaters. Or would more likely, let me say it that way, would more, because by the way, God's grace can pour into a young person and maybe they're in a home where mom and dad isn't living it. But they can still turn out for God, can't they? Of course they can. They can decide, even if their home is going one way, they can decide, I am going to serve God. So that's true. But it sure is hard in that context to serve God when the home isn't. If our children become idolaters, then it will eventually destroy the church. It is true then, isn't it? When the kids sing on Sunday mornings and we have that big, wow, what a great job this morning, by the way, the children singing, not just in Patch, but even before that in the opening of Sunday school. And we see those kids and we say things, wow, that's the future of the church. And in a sense, it's true, isn't it? And if we lose our children, then the church will be destroyed. If the churches are destroyed, then the nation will be destroyed. Do you know what's happening in our nation today? It's a failure of the politics. No. It's a failure of the churches. Well, where does the church failure start? A failure in the homes. You see? God knew that. So number one, the discipler of the home is that you must learn yourself. You must learn yourself. Number two, learn to be a disciple of your home by teaching your family what you learned. Lessons learned are not to be for self-development only. You are to learn and you are to teach. I want to give a note here, and this is developed in our passage, that you teach your family in two ways. So we'll call this big or little A and little B, okay? Under number two, learn to be a disciple of your home by teaching your family what you've learned. Letter A under that, through verbal lessons. Through verbal lessons. Look at verse 10. Especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words. I will make, note that, I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. So the idea there is God will give you his words, and then you are to take the words that God gave you, and you're to go home, and you are to teach them to your children. That's what God's saying here. Verbal lessons. Number two, or letter B under that, through their living example. Verse 9. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently. Now, why would God say that? Well, first, because of the lesson we did last Sunday, be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. But look at this verse in the context of what he's saying here. He says, take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. Then he said this, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. So here's what he's saying. He says, take heed and keep their soul, and through that example, they would transfer these lessons to their children. So it wasn't just sitting down and saying or teaching the lessons verbally. It was that they were heeding them, that they were themselves doing these, keeping these things. So they were teaching it, and they would have or would need to live the example in the home too. Well, the same is true for us. We also, A, need to sit down and teach our children the things we've learned. Can I say that if you don't have a sit-down teaching session with your children, you need to. You say, well, man, Pastor, I'm busy. You're not too busy. This is your number one, as a parent, responsibility, to train your children. You've been taught, God says, teach your kids. So how do we do that? Let me give you some practical things. I think this will help. First of all, the easiest thing is confirm the message that they're hearing on Sunday. When you go home on Sunday, you should be quizzing them about what they learned in Sunday school and affirming it. Hey, what'd your teacher talk about? Oh, I have no idea. Well, let's try to remember something. And then just affirm it. That's a wonderful Bible story. Or I don't know that Bible story. And just talk about the messages that they hear in junior church. What'd you hear about in junior church today? Or if they're a teen, what did Pastor talk about today? Or if you were in here, you know. Well, hopefully you remember. Like, what did Pastor talk about today, you know? No, you heard the message, and so you say, man, Pastor, remember when Pastor said this in the message? Boy, that was good. Did you know that this is just one way you can affirm the Word of God and teach your children to honor and to respect the Word? And that's just a very simple thing that we can do each time we hear church or at church. We should read the Bibles at home, our Bibles at home together as a family. Any time that you can do, I'm talking about a corporate Bible reading, a family Bible reading time, that you would do this, that you would just sit down and we're going to read a verse together. Or we're going to memorize a verse. We're going to, every night before bed, we're going to read a verse, try to memorize it or whatever, and we're going to pray, we're going to sing a song, and we're going to go to bed. Hey, you know, Pastor, is there a good song we can sing before bed? Yeah, Jesus loves me. Just sing it every night. Same song. Do you do that? Amen. So, do a Bible verse. Read something with them. Say a prayer with them. And sing a song with them. But do it every day. Did you know that these are lessons that you as a mom and dad are transferring things that God is doing in you to your children? I was, this afternoon, my sermon was totally ready. And I told somebody this morning, I said, man, my sermon's ready. I'm going to take a nap today. So I lay down and I was just like, bing. I couldn't sleep. My brain was just, whew, it was too exciting of a morning. I couldn't sleep at all. And that's okay. So I just opened up a book and I started reading. And wouldn't you know, God gave me something for my sermon in a book I was reading. The book's title is The Pastor's Family. And I thought, wow, I want to hear about this. Did you know it's a common thing for pastors to disciple the church but not his own family? Guilty sometimes. So he gives practical things that for a pastor that I could do to disciple my kids. And I thought, well, goodness gracious, everybody can do this. So I'm going to give it to you. Here's what it is. Have a one-on-one time with each of your kids every week. Oh, no. I'm already doing a corporate Bible reading time before bed, and now you're asking me to have a one-on-one session with each of my kids? Yep. So in this book, he told a story about a deacon in his church who had 7 kids. And he had one-on-one time with them. Hey, 7 kids, 7 days in the week. And he gave 30 minutes every day to one of his kids every week. And the pastor said, I only have 4 kids. And I'm like, yeah, I can relate. Feels like 7, though, sometimes. He said, I only have 4. I can give 4 days a week. 30 minutes for 4 days a week. I can do that. I think that that's wise. Well, what do you do? Let me give you a layout, because with the Lord's help, this is what I want to do. So it's bedtime. You know, like when your kids are small, no matter how old they are, when it's bedtime, they're like, can we stay up a little bit more? Is there any kids who don't say that? I mean, sometimes they're tired. Alex doesn't say that. So you might have to do something else with him. But, hey, one day a week, you're going to get to stay up an extra 30 minutes because you and me, we're going to sit down. And we're going to read a couple verses together, and then we're going to pray, and then we're going to maybe read a book, you know, a few pages out of a book you want to read, and then we're going to finish everything off with WrestleMania. Now, if you have girls, that might not work, but you could do the 4th thing, whatever you want. Once a week, if you'll just have a one-on-one time with your children, you say, well, that isn't going to make a difference. Do it. You'll see. You'll help the development of your children in ways that you can't even understand if you'll just give them a one-on-one time regularly. But I'm not talking about sitting down and talking about football or this or that or shopping or whatever. Mm-mm. You sit down and you're going to read the Bible together and you're going to have a sweet time. Not a corrective time, but a sweet time in the Bible and prayer. And we're staying up a little bit later and we're going to either read, you know, a couple pages, and then we're going to just be together for a little time, about 30 minutes, and then they go to bed. You do it every whatever day of the week. Yeah, one-on-one time makes a difference. There is a pastor who did this, and I had heard about a pastor doing something like this with his boys when I was in college, and this would have been before this book was written. I just heard about a pastor who every Monday, he had 2 boys, and every Monday he would take one of his boys to Panera Bread, which How nice would it be if there was a Panera Bread here? But anyway, to Panera Bread, they would get a bagel, and every Monday morning they would have breakfast together. You could just look forward to it. And both of his sons, now I'm not saying that this is a guarantee, but for him, both his sons are in the ministry today, serving God, married, have their kids in church. It's just, so I'm saying tonight that God will use the influence, your influence, in the hearts of your kids. The second thing I wanted to say, or B, was that you need to live it out in your home. The first one is you need to teach your children with a sit-down time and read the Bible and study the Bible and pray together and talk about things, and they need that, but they need to see you living it. They need to see you at home living the things that we're being taught. Hey, pastor preached this sermon. And then they go home and they see you doing it. Or attempting, or trying, you know, whatever. You know what our kids ought to wake up in the sometimes in the morning or from time to time see us doing? Not pretend or doing it just so they'll see it, but they ought to come into your room sometimes and see you knelt down there by the couch, just in one-on-one time with God. Or they need to see you with your Bible opened at the table sometimes. You're just reading. Sometimes you'll pull them over, hey, come over here. Let's take a look at this. I just saw this. This is so cool. Yeah. Our kids will be touched if they see us living it. They'll be touched quicker if they see us living it. You know what would touch your kids quicker? To come to the altar if they saw you come to the altar. Say, oh man, mom went to the altar. Or dad went to the altar. I'm going to go to the altar too. These kinds of things make a big difference. But it requires us to humble ourselves. You know, children have an easier time saying, I'm sorry, when moms and dads say, I'm sorry. Our example is big. It's not just what we say or teach them, it's what we do. And God knows that both of those are important. Learning to be a disciple of your home will have a preservative effect in the home, as well as in the church, and as well as in the nation. And I want you to note that the future of the nation was dependent on the parents fulfilling their responsibility, not abdicating this great duty that God has given to us. Look at verse 9 again. He says, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently. Now note these next words, lest thou forget. Let's read on. He says, the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. And so through laziness and apathy, parents might fail to teach their children. One writer said it like this, Israelites constantly face the danger of falling into the sin of idolatry. And if there's anything Israel had a tendency to do, it was to fall into the sin of idolatry, which would have brought them to the brink of annihilation as a nation. This meant that the future of the nation was dependent on the parents' fulfillment of their responsibility of teaching their children. So don't forget. As a child, when I was supposed to get a spanking, have you ever got in trouble and while you're out and dad said or mom said or somebody said in your family, when we get home? When we get home. And you're like, oh man. So the whole time dad said that, I just remember for me, dad said, hey, when we get home, buddy. I would just, oh Lord, please help him forget. You know, just help him forget. I would bring up stuff. Dad, how was your day at work? I'm just like trying to change the subject. Throwing anything out there I can to help him to not remember. Yeah, because you're going to get a spanking. And I was just hopeful he would forget. Sometimes he did. And we rejoiced. But if dad or mom said, when we get home, you're going to get some ice cream, then this would be something that we wanted to be sure they didn't forget. They say, you're going to get some ice cream, and then, but it's a long time before we get home. They're like, I love ice cream. You're just saying it every so often. You know, dad, yeah, what's your favorite ice cream? Dad, what temperature does the freezer have to be for ice cream to freeze? How many ice creams are in the world? Who invented ice cream? Anything, you can keep ice cream as a topic. Just keep it going. Why? Because you don't want mom or dad to forget that you're going to get ice cream when you get home. Here's what God is saying. Do you know what our homes should be like as it relates to God? when your children hear or know about God, they should see it. They should feel like, wow, this is like ice cream. Coming to church, that's like ice cream. Like learning about God, that's like ice cream. We need to teach them. We need to be excited about it. We need to disciple them. We need to help them be excited about it. We need to do it. We need to live it. We need to teach it. We need to learn it. And I'm telling you, this is only number two, but I feel like the two that we've done so far are enough, right? Be a doer of the word and not a hearer only, and teach your kids. And this is a preservative for our homes. Learn it yourself. Teach your children. I can't wait for the rest. This is what we can do, moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas. And it will, you say, well, I'm not sure that it will make a difference in your home like you can't believe. Just trust God. Trust God with the process. But don't abdicate your responsibility. Don't forget, it's our responsibility to be the discipler of our home. Father, tonight I thank you that we have had the privilege to open your word and learn about what it means to be a discipler of our home, or to be reminded that we can take time and, or that we need to take time and sit down with our children, both as a family and read the Bible, but sit down with our children individually and teach them the Bible. Lord, to be an example in our home, to affirm the messages from Sunday in the ears and in the heart of our kids, to teach our children specifically, Lord, the principles of your word regularly. Lord, what a joy, what a privilege, what an honor, what a responsibility. I pray you'd help us tonight to do that. Please. Help us to have a heart tender, soft, open enough that we would be a learner, a hearer, a doer ourselves, but that we would also, Lord, teach our children, be a disciple. We'll give you glory for what you do tonight. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Let's